The second lesson, the epistle lesson, is recorded in the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning with the sixth verse. Here the Apostle Paul reminds us that Spirit-filled preaching proclaims the secret wisdom of God. This, by the way, is also the sermon text for this morning. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. He runs the lesson, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I'd like to consider with you this morning is that epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which was read for you a few moments ago. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who imparts his wisdom into our hearts, fellow recipients of that gift, who is the smartest person that you know? Perhaps it is a teacher that you had, who was able to spit out just about any math formula known to mankind. Maybe it is a mentor at your workplace who consistently makes decisions which benefit the company. Maybe it's a family member whose common sense has gotten you and others out of many a tight spot. It's a blessing to know people like that. But at the same time, it can also be intimidating. After all, nobody likes to be thought of as the weak link when it comes to the matter of intelligence. We live in a society today which promotes intelligence. That's why we have 70% of high school graduates who go on to college to pursue a higher education in our land. And our society is not the only one that pines after wisdom. The ancient Greeks loved wisdom as well. And they are the people to whom the Apostle Paul is writing in the words of this epistle. But we see that when the Apostle Paul visited that church in that Greek city of Corinth, he did not put on a dazzling display of intellectual acumen. Last week, you heard in the epistle lesson these words, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. But on the other hand, lest the Corinthians think that the Apostle Paul did not need to be taken seriously in what he was saying to them, he goes on in the words of our text today to say, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. God's secret wisdom. When you hear those words, does it kind of sound like it? Tabloid there at the checkout counter of the supermarket, which is speaking out to you in glaring headlines, God's secrets revealed. The Apostle Paul is not a writer for the National Enquirer who is making up stuff in order to try and sell newspapers. He really did have a secret wisdom from God, which was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to explain that in the words of our text when he says, God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. You see, no one besides God, not even your spouse, not even a close sibling, no one knows what you are thinking right now. God does, but nobody else does. In order for us to know what you're thinking right now, you would have to share your thoughts with us in order to enlighten us. And in the same way, there is no way for us to know God and what God is thinking unless God tells us. And he does. Thankfully, he does that through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, granted, the Holy Spirit does not come to us and speak directly to us, though he could do that if he wanted to. But he did somehow communicate with people like the Apostle Paul when they were called to write down God's word in the pages of Scripture, that book that we call the Bible. And that's what we mean by the inspiration of Scripture. God moved these various men to write down the very thoughts and words which they expressed, and those words that they wrote down and communicated to us were indeed God's word. And then Paul basically says, do you want to gain real wisdom? Well, you need to realize real wisdom comes from the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us to that wisdom and speaks that wisdom to us in the pages of the Bible. And that is why we as confessional Lutherans treat the Bible with such great respect. We know that it's not simply a book by human authors, it is a book which has been inspired by God. And when you and I come together in order to study the Bible, we're not just examining an ancient book. An ancient text. We are in effect being given the ability to read God's mind as it's recorded to us there in the pages of Scripture. And in those words of Scripture, we come to know our God better. We find out who he is. We find out his qualities and his characteristics. We find out what he has done for us and for our salvation. And we also hear about that wonderful home that he is preparing for us in heaven. The home that he will one day come and take us so that we can be with him there in the unending joy and bliss of eternal life. That secret future home, that home in heaven, comes to us only when we believe the Bible's main message. And you know what that message is, don't you? Last week, again, we heard the Apostle Paul tell the Corinthians, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the central message of Scripture. And so here I am again this week, telling you about Jesus who died on the cross in order to pay for the penalty of your sins. And you might be tempted to scratch your head and say, seriously, Pastor, can't we talk about something else for a change? No, we can't. Because that is the most important message. There is no more important message for us to be concentrating on, and no more important message for us to be sharing with one another than the message of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the rock-solid foundation of our Christian faith. And so real wisdom concentrates on Jesus Christ because having a proper understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us, lays the foundation for us, the foundation which ultimately will lead to taking us home to eternal life in heaven with him. And if you and I choose to build our lives on something else other than the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, then the Bible describes us as building our lives on sand rather than on rock. Now, you and I need that constant encouragement to concentrate on Jesus Christ, because you and I are no different than those disciples who surrounded Jesus, those 12 disciples who surrounded him during his earthly ministry. Just like them, we often become drowsy. We often become spiritually cool. We often become careless. We forget just how extraordinary it is that God has miraculously invaded our world in order to speak to us through his word, and in order to impart heavenly wisdom to us, wisdom that this world has never known. And yes, if we're honest with ourselves and with God, we have to admit that sometimes we fail to honor the word of God with our full attention, and we choose to listen instead to what the world has to speak to us with all of its worldly wisdom, which ultimately leads us nowhere. And so instead of paying closer attention to God's word, we pay more attention to our Facebook posts and our phone's text messages. Our eyes get diverted away from the central message that we need to be concentrating on. And we concentrate instead on all of this fluff which is around us in the world. That's a lot like trying to drive through rush hour here in the Washington, D.C. area and not paying close attention to the road ahead of you. Oh, it's boring to have to drive down those highways. And it would be so much more interesting to be able to take our eyes off the road and to look at all the scenery by the side of the road. But to do that would be disastrous, wouldn't it? And it's also disastrous if you and I take our eyes off the central message of Scripture, Jesus Christ and him crucified, and try to concentrate on other things which this world is hawking. Because those things will not take us safely to our eternal home in heaven. But that's hard to do, isn't it? Hard to concentrate always on that precious message of God's word. There are so many other things that attract our attention in this world in which we live. And it's difficult to concentrate on Jesus Christ when all of your friends around you are talking about this or that sporting event or this or that political candidate. It's not easy to be talking about Christ and concentrating on Christ when you realize that he calls us to be wise stewards of the gifts that he has entrusted to us. And he wants us to give a respectable portion of our income back to him as thanks and praise for all that he has given to us. It's hard to do that when your co-workers have upgraded to a brand new shiny vehicle once again, and they just can't understand why you're driving around with that outdated model. But there's wisdom in doing so, isn't there? Because concentrating on Jesus Christ and him crucified will culminate in eternal glory in heaven, whereas concentrating on the things of this world will offer no lasting value because you can't take them with you. Listen again to the Apostle Paul. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God has destined for our glory before time began. Did you hear what Paul said there by inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Real wisdom is ancient. It has been around since before the clocks started ticking. But real wisdom does not just speak about the past. It also points us to the future. A future that will culminate in glory. In eternity, God already knew that Adam and Eve would succumb to the temptation of the devil and would fall into sin. Not only that, but from eternity, God also knew how he was going to save mankind from their sins. Now, the plan which God devised is not a plan which you and I would have dreamed up, I'm sure. I mean, we probably would have called upon the angels and sent some angels down to kick Satan's behind and to put him in place. But not God. God's plan was that he was going to come himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Although many people did not realize the depth of his majesty, because he hid his majesty. He hid his majesty in diapers, in a stable in Bethlehem. And then later on, he put his majesty on full display when he was crucified on the cross. No, very few people saw divine wisdom in that. But that's because God's wisdom is not the wisdom of this world. And even to this very day, God still hides his glorious wisdom at times. He meets us in the message of his law that points out the miserable sinners that we are. And then he meets us in the message of the gospel, which declares how Jesus Christ paid for all those sins. That message, that glorious message, that message of heavenly wisdom is proclaimed to us in the pages of a book and through the words of a feeble preacher standing up here behind a pulpit on Sunday mornings. That majesty of God is hidden in a handful of water, which is poured in the name of the triune God on a child or an adult. That message is hidden in pennies worth of wine and wafers that people receive, but in a miraculous way receive also the very body and blood which Jesus Christ gave into death for their sins. The world around us does not see God's wisdom in those things. But by the gracious working of the Holy Spirit in your hearts, you do see God's wisdom there. And believing what God has to say about our sins and what Jesus has done for us in order to take away our sins, that will then lead us to the glory of heaven, a glory which will far outshine and outlast the thrill of the trip to a beach in the middle of winter or to the Holy Land in the midst of February. Don't despise the wisdom which God reveals to us in the pages of his holy word. Because real wisdom, dear friends, is not knowing how many beats an eighth note gets in 6/8 time. Real wisdom is not remembering the names of the first 6 presidents of the United States of America. Real wisdom comes from God the Holy Spirit. Real wisdom concentrates on Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. And that wisdom, dear friends, real wisdom, culminates in our future eternal glory in heaven. Yes, dear friends, marvel and rejoice that God has given you that wisdom through the working of the Holy Spirit in your hearts. Amen.